World Famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and online at philhenryshow.com, our online store where you can pick up whatever you'd like for Christmas for the Phil fan in your life. As a matter of fact, you could probably pick up something for our number one fan, John J. Fallows, John Jason Fallows of Auburn, Washington, who calls this show every single solitary night, come rain, come shine, and he believes, by the way, folks, that because he has a Twitter account, somehow you can't subpoena records, that you can't find out using the cyber departments of any police department who owns what Gmail or email address. I mean, let me tell you something. As I said during the break, and I'll say it on the air, when I want to find out who somebody is, and when I want to find out where somebody lives, and when I want to find out what they're, I find out. This guy has been a stalker of ours for months, and I finally said, you know what, I'm going to find out who this guy is. All it took was money. Just a word to the wise, all it takes is money. All you got to do is spread some dollars around. You can find out whoever anybody is, and that's what we did. And now it looks like we're going to have somebody thrown in jail. Okay, so LDS Church, strike somebody off your missionary rolls there, man. That's all I can tell you. 855-500-7445. What, Margaret?
I don't think you should be talking about this because I...
No. Why not? Why not?
Well, I think that, it's necessary if it's what the offending individual wants. Maybe there's some sadomasochism going on.
Could be.
Yeah, I think that's probably it. And the guy wants to maybe not... If you think the guy wants to be in a jail cell with some other men...
Maybe either a jail cell or a hot tub. So anyway, Margaret, you have Roger Waters on the brain.
I don't have Roger... What does that mean, Roger Waters on the brain?
Well, the Roger Waters case that surfaced here over the weekend, Roger Waters was quoted as saying, and it's a pretty brutal thing, he was quoted as saying that Israel was like the Nazis or something, the way that they treated the Palestinians.
Look, Roger Waters is well known to be very politically involved and to be very politically adept and astute at a variety of things having to do with current events. He was, as you know, for many, many years, the real genius behind Pink Floyd. Now, I have to tell you, Phil, I love Pink Floyd. I love David Gilmour. But you cannot deny that Roger Waters was the motivating genius of this band for a great many years.
Roger Waters was the motivating genius of this band for a great many years. All right, that may well be. Although I have to tell you, Pink Floyd as they are now, Pink Floyd as they were in the 80s when Waters left, Pink Floyd as they were before Waters left, to me, the band remains a great band. I don't see...
You don't see the loss of... When Roger Waters left the band, you didn't see the loss of the genius, the motivating genius.
No, I did not. I didn't see it at all.
Well, I don't know anything about this music, but I can tell you, I don't know anything about rock and roll, but I can tell you what you just said there sounds real dumbass just based on the things that I know.
Yeah, because everybody knows about Roger Waters.
Wait, hold on. General, how do you know?
Because how do I know? Let me tell you, I've had a great experience in a lot of different arenas of life, and certainly on deployment, when there hasn't been anything else to listen to, sometimes I listen... To Roger Waters. Well, I just, my voice.
Yeah, go, more water? What is it with this voice of yours? I think, you need to go see an ear, nose, and throat guy.
Yeah, there you go again. We don't know what that is. Yeah.
I know what an ear, nose, and throat guy is. Get me some, don't get me water, get me lemonade.
All right.
An ear, nose, and throat guy is a guy that is a doctor for the ear, for what?
What?
What does an ear, nose, and throat guy do?
I don't know.
It's a doctor. Of what?
Oh, a doctor of the throat and the nose and the ear. One ear?
Yeah, that's right. One ear. Wow.
Bud, you got to be putting me on.
Well, Phil said ear, nose, and throat.
Both ears. One ear.
Why don't they pluralize it?
Okay, ears, nose, and throat. Is that better?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is, you know?
Phil, yes, this is good water. Thank you very much. This is tap water. It's very good. Ventura County water, huh?
You got that out of the tap? Okay. We've got bottled water.
Oh, maybe that's what this is.
Did you get it out of the tap or get it out of a bottle?
Well, I got it out of a bottle, but Bud said he'd filled the bottle with tap water.
Okay, so is that tap water in that bottle?
Yeah.
Well, then what's the point of us buying Arrowhead water and then you pour it out and put tap water in there?
I didn't pour it out. I drank it first, then I put tap water in.
And then resealed the bottle.
Oh,
man.
But no one wants your backwash. No one wants your back. This is how I emphasize things with him. No one wants your backwash.
Man, that's creepy.
Yeah, that's real weird.
That's how you emphasize things. Excuse me.
That's how you emphasize things with an idiot like Bud.
Yes.
All right. So Roger Waters.
Roger Waters, as I said, was one of the reigning geniuses of rock and roll. Us, and them. You know the songs. Nuff said. Wish you were here. Nuff said. Have a cigar. Nuff said.
Yeah, okay. Nuff said.
Right. Now, Roger Waters, very politically motivated, he used the term the Nazis. He used the Nazi comparison because I believe he wanted to He wanted people to think not of the Israelis as Nazis so much as he wanted people to think of the Palestinians as Jews. You see?
Right. Well, you know, there is the argument the Semitic people is not just Jewish people. Semitic people are Mediterranean, correct?
Yes. Very good point, Phil.
All right. So if one is anti-Semitic, sometimes it can be argued, what are you saying? You're saying that they're anti-Arab and Jewish. They're anti-Middle Eastern?
Well, now hold on, because Semitic technically means, it means the Semites. I don't know what it means.
Yeah, thank you. Palestinians, I don't understand what any of this means, but why don't we get on the line here? Don Berman from Channel 19 News is going to talk a little bit more to this because it was a big news story over the weekend. Don, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, how are you? Don Berman here, Channel 19 News.
All right, we got Margaret on the line here. The Roger Waters story.
Roger Waters is the scum of the earth, if you want my honest opinion, Phil, and...
Now, wait just a minute, Don.
Hold on. We're having a back and forth here, if you don't mind.
Go ahead, but let Don speak.
You're talking about one of the reigning geniuses.
I know of rock and roll, and that in a quarter is going to get me whatever a quarter buys. I can't even tell you what a jawbreaker. It will get me a jawbreaker. Roger Waters being a reigning genius of rock and roll. Roger Waters is the lowest, crawlingest thing. Roger Waters reminds me of this new Disney movie with that dinosaur and those crawling things have you seen this film?
What is it?
It's The Walking with Dinosaurs.
Yeah, I've seen it. It looks pretty interesting.
Well, it is sort of interesting, Phil, and or Bud, or whoever that was. Was that you, Phil?
No, that's Bud. You thought that was me?
Well, I heard someone go, yeah. I thought it was you.
It's me, Mr. Berman.
Yeah. Hi, Phil.
This is Phil right here.
All right. I'm sorry, Phil. You're not on television.
Yeah, we are. If you get me make with a backstage pass subscription, I'm on TV right now.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that. You need your $9.99 a month.
Yeah, pardon me for making a living, okay?
Well...
Yeah, pardon me for making a living.
Why don't you just get advertising like everybody else?
Hey, why don't I just go directly to my customer and not bother them with advertising? How about that? And that way it's me and them and me, and, you know, we're all going to heaven in a pea-green boat. Now, Roger Waters.
No, a pea-green boat.
Just talk about Roger Waters, will you, Berman? Quit stalling.
I'm not stalling about anything, I told you. Roger Waters is a low-crawling thing from the primordial ooze who just so happens to play guitar, or actually bass guitar. Doesn't even play guitar. He plays bass guitar. And yes, he wrote a few songs. I like that song, Mommy. And Margaret, you said that you would sing that later on if I came on and I did this debate.
You trying to tell me you come on a program just on account of you hear her sing?
That's exactly what I said, Phil. And
what is it with you calling him Phil?
I'm sorry, I thought that was you. Are you the host of the show?
Yes.
Then why do I keep hearing Dickman?
Because he's had... Bud, why don't you shut up? You're confusing people.
No, I can't.
Yeah, see, I'm hearing that guy's voice so much, he might as well be the host of the show. Roger Waters, what he said about the Israelis, what he said about the Jewish people of Israel, considering the history of those people and where they came from, that was absolutely uncalled for. And I don't think if you were a person of conscience, which more and more the liberals in this society, especially the rock and roll fans, the white young male rock and roll fans of this country, are all right-wing fascists. And so Roger Waters, in his old age, is now giving in to the impulse that many old British men have, and that is to become a fascist.
That, oh, you know, that is so wrong. Roger Waters has done so much for so many people in so many different ways. That just, I can't begin to tell you the wonderful things he's done. The people that he's helped, the institutions that he's been a benefactor for, the money that he's raised, you know, you're not going to believe this, Don, and I don't have any firsthand experience. Roger Waters, I talked to two separate individuals. They claim to have seen him, Phil, heal people with his hands.
Oh, baby.
Are you going to let me finish?
Baby.
Are you going to let me finish?
Now, Margaret.
No, hold on. I'm saying they saw him lay his hands on a woman's breasts, and she was cured, well.
Of what?
Of a headache.
Are you putting me on? The guy got a cheap, creep feel. He got a feel-up so he could cure her headache.
That is uncalled for.
Margaret, are you nuts or something? I saw him lay his hands.
I didn't. These people I talked to.
Saw him lay his hands on a woman's breasts to cure her of a
headache. I'm not going to sit here and listen to that.
Well, you want to get the cigars?
I'm not getting any cigars. I'm going to go smoke one.
Oh.
Let me guess. She walked out of the room.
Yes.
Oh man. Oh baby. I swear to God, I thought I was gonna lose control of every single faculty, including the lower colon. It was already a foregone conclusion. I'd become incontinent, which means I'd wet myself. But I thought the lower colon.
All right. I get it. I understand. Don Berman is with us here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. We got to take a break. We are so late. It's beyond belief. Don talking with us about Anne Margaret. Talking with us about Roger Waters and some comments that he made over the weekend that I thought they were very unfortunate. I didn't like them. I didn't appreciate them. Saying that the Israelis were behaving like Nazis in relation to the Palestinians. Absolutely ignoramus statement, in my opinion. But that's me. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445, and online at philhendryshow.com. Next week we're off, but we will have a variety of video events for you. Don't forget, on the 26th of January, I'll be at the San Francisco Sketch Fest. I'll be on Marin, an episode of Marin next year. And Drunk History coming up. Every day of the week. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Online at philhendryshow.com. Get yourself a backstage pass and be a part of the next big thing, man.
How do you know that?
What do you mean, how do I know that? Because what's going on in radio right now? Are you kidding? Don Berman is on the line with us. I was talking about that, Don, right?
Well, you know, I understand that there's a lot of panic out there because the conservative radio thing that's been going on is not what it used to be, and it's fading out.
Maybe that's what's making John nervous, you know? Maybe that's why he's harassing our show every night. The conservative thing that he's been trying to sell the Mormon church, that he is a conservative. And, John, you know, you do yourself a favor and just tell the truth, okay? You live in a dump in Scottsdale. You don't have any money. You don't buy Google stock. And, you know, you've been blown up in so many different varieties of ways. You've been doxxed. You've been outed. You've been...
All right, so I understand that. I don't know who the guy is. Is that Roger Waters?
No, I'm talking about somebody else. All right.
Yeah, Phil, let's get back on to Roger Waters, if we could. Now, you said to me, Don, that you think Roger... And you said to the audience that you think Roger Waters is the scum of the earth. Is that what you said?
I absolutely do believe that. I think what Roger Waters said... And what Roger Waters is, I think anybody that looks like Roger Waters should really keep his own counsel.
What does that mean?
Well, I shouldn't say, but I think the guy has got a face on him that would stop time. You know that as well as I do, don't you?
And what difference does that make?
I'm just telling you that a guy like that needs all the help he can get.
Well, I can tell you, speaking as a woman, it doesn't make any difference. He's a fascinating artist, and there are great many women that think he, well, that used to think he was, that now he's, in any event, I think...
But now he's what?
Now he's old.
Oh, so he's old, so that's it. Well, he's still loaded. I know that he's got money. There's no question he has money. All of them have money. But to devote his time, a wealthy man like that, to devote his time to the harassing of the Jewish people, I don't get that at all.
You know, I'm going to tell you this. I don't agree with what he said. I think it was the wrong thing to say. I think it was absolutely the lowest thing he could possibly say. I don't think that that Roger Waters or John Fallows, I don't think either one of these guys is worth a pinch of, you know what. But at least John, Roger plays the bass. John tried to.
Who are you talking about anyway?
I'm talking about Roger Waters. Now, Roger Waters made that statement. We went on Facebook over the weekend and sort of took the pulse of the people. And I'm going to tell you something, man. Everybody there was of a like mind. They felt it was way overboard. They thought it was wrong. But they said the following thing, that it opened up a conversation about how Palestinians are being treated.
That's my point, you see.
Well, I don't care, because opened up a conversation. Didn't you say, Phil, that the conversation was over as soon as he brought up Nazis?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's Godwin's law or something? Once you bring up Nazis, the conversation's over. Once you begin to compare anything to the Nazis, you've pretty much lost the debate, because you've gone to the most obvious, heavy-handed, and cliche-ridden comparison there is.
So I think that was... Now, again, it does not negate the fact that it's a great band. What it does negate, though, is Roger Waters and whether or not he ever really was of importance in that band. I like the group. And you did promise Margaret to sing Money. We were going to actually have Margaret over here at a birthday party for L. Ron Martin, and you were going to sing Money for us.
I don't know that I can sing Money at any birthday party for L. Ron Martin or anyone else, as long as you have that attitude about Roger Waters being the scum of the earth.
You're going to have to say that one again to me, I'm sorry.
I said I don't know that I can go to the television station where you worked on and sing Money for L. Ron Martin, the station manager, for his birthday, if you feel that Roger Waters is the scum of the earth.
She's holding you hostage.
So that's the game you want to play. In other words, I have to either agree with you philosophically or politically.
No, you don't have to do anything, but why should I go over to your television station and sing this song?
Well, Margaret, you know, I'm asking you to sing the song as a favor. It's not like you sing it all that great, okay?
Oh, is that right?
Well, I'm sorry. If you're going to hold back based upon our difference of opinion...
So I don't sing that well, so what? You know something, Don? Not for nothing, but if you were standing in front of me, I'd drive my high heel right underneath...
Kick you in the testicles.
Shut up, okay?
Oh! Oh! So that's it, huh? You're telling me that if I give you an opinion, an honest opinion...
Don, you want me to come over there and sing this song for this man, L. Ron Martin, even though you feel the way you do about the man that composed that song, and then you say, well, you don't sing it all that well anyway. He's been all over me like a biker, like I'm being passed around a campfire.
You know what, Margaret, don't flatter yourself, you know?
All right, that's it. I'm not singing any song. As a matter of fact, I will sing a song for L. Ron Martin, but I think I'll let him know a little something.
That's it. She can't think of a thing to say. You're all out of material. Goodbye.
No, what?
All right. Do you want to?
I'll sing the song.
You'll sing the song?
Yes.
Let me get L. Ron Martin over here. I'm downstairs, so I got to get back up into the newsroom here. And Jerry, would you go ahead and go get Ron? Go get Ron, yeah. I'm coming to down. Hello, everybody. This is Don Berman. Hold on, Margaret. Put on the Phil Henry Show. Yeah, and where's... Hey, Ron, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
All right. Margaret, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
And one. Well, you know how to count it down.
Hello, L. Ron and everyone there at the Channel 19 newsroom. This is Margaret Gray, and I'm going to sing Money. 2, 3, Money! I forget the words. Thank you.
Go on. Nothing. Margaret,
No, I forgot the words. I'm sorry. You want to make me look like an ass? Two can play at this game.
I swear to God.
All right. Thank you very much, Don.
No. I got to talk to her.
I got to take a break.
You know what?
Well?
Yeah. You want to go? Let's go, okay? You want to go? Oh, I love this. Sally, go round the roses.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
You want to go? We'll go.
Hey, Rob. Rob.
The world famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray. Jackass. What is that, my friend?
That's a buck cherry and crazy bitch.
Woo!
All right. Anyway, let's we better pot out of that butt because I don't know if there's 4-letter words in it.
And it's a great song.
Turn it down. I just. Hi. It's like that's why we don't open up with any hip hop, you know, because.
Yeah, a lot of hip hop are going to have a 4-letter word in it. Well, I don't think you should worry about that kind of music. You know, you were saying that. What do you want, Margaret?
Hold on.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Phil, but I had the garden burger.
What has that got to do with you belching on the air?
The garden burger has a great. It's got potato and bean. It has beef bean.
Yeah, that causes. What is that?
You don't know what beef bean is?
Well, what is beef bean?
Beef and bean. Woo!
Hey, look, you know, Margaret, this is a language nobody around here speaks but you. Garden burger, beef bean, potato, causes gas. You gotta belch, otherwise you'll shred your esophagus. I mean, you got us all hostage to your homeopathic health thing, you know.
What do you mean, my homeopathic health thing? I like being healthy as a woman, and I think this is true of all women. If it wasn't for the women of America, our men, all of our family members would be fat slobs. Not so much walking as just oozing down a road. You've ever seen a slinky, you know what I mean. Most people in this country would be just one layer of fat blobbing down the street after another if it wasn't for the women of this country.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the women of this country, there wouldn't be no blob going down the street in the first place.
What?
I said if it wasn't for the women of this country, no blob go down the street.
Will you speak English? No blob go down street.
I mean, there wouldn't be no fat slob.
You think there wouldn't be no fat slob in the first place?
That's what I thought you said, and I think you are dead wrong, bud. D-E-A-D. Dead, Red.
All right. Roger Waters. I'm still laughing about all of that. I'm still laughing about you, screwing Dawn out of that song.
But don't say you screwing Phil and then Dawn, because someone's going to take that piece of audio and cut it, and it'll be you saying you screwing Dawn, and they'll be using it on morning shows.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. World famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, and online at philhenryshow.com. Next week is God. I'm just anyway. Next week is Christmas. I'm just so pissed off that I got to hang around. I got to do taxes. You know?
Well, why are you doing taxes now?
That's just the way that they like it, so I got to do it. And I was not, this isn't something I used to do, but I took it over because of you know what I am? I'm one of these guys, I don't like to have, you ever hear those commercials that Larry Miller did for the Sit and Sleep where the guy would say, "You're killing me, Larry?"
Yeah, it's the guy, Irwin, his accountant or something.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that's the kind of an accountant I've got. You know, "You're killing me, you're spending too much money." There's a certain way that I like to do business, and I like to invest in the company that we have and the business that we have, so I do. I put a lot of money into it, and...
And you stay first class whenever you travel?
And I stay first class.
She said, ow.
Be quiet. That's my business. Let me tell you something. I own the company. You know, I pay my people well. Everybody gets fat when times are good.
And when times suck?
Everyone stays fat, and we just run out of money. No, I'm kidding. So anyway, I got to do that. But next week is, as I say, Christmas, And online at Phil Hendry Show right now, we have for you in our online store CDs. We have our collectibles, which are our shot glasses and, of course, the mugs and the Bobby Doody keychain. We have our clothing, which is our hats and our shirts and the Ted Bell shirt, which, by the way, Jimmy Pardo, the very great Jimmy Pardo, we have promised a signed Ted Bell shirt. Ted just got around to signing one for you, Jimmy, and it's on its way tomorrow for the very wonderful people at the podcast and the work they're doing on behalf of Smile Train. So, yeah, we've got that T-shirt on the way, man. I'm so sorry, dude. It's just 85 million different things. Then the other thing that happened, which I thought was interesting. What are you doing, bud?
Well, that's the thing.
He's pulling on the waist of his pants. Why are you doing that?
Okay, yeah. So I had to get my measurements to the wardrobe people for the show Marin. And, you know, it's always kind of humiliating. Well, it used to be, but it isn't anymore. It used to be like, what are your measurements, Phil? 52 waist.
Woo!
Take it easy, man. God.
What is that? You have no business doing that, bud.
Well, that was very exuberant of you, bud, but even I'd have to reach over and put my hands around your throat and choke almost till your tongue flew out of your head. The way that sounded.
I understand.
All right.
The general, you know, General, you have a very, very good way of communicating with him. So, yeah, I had to, I definitely had to get the measurements over there. And when I got this 52 waist thing, that's what it used to be, you know. And I was just a fat tub of guts. And it never got worse than when I was on that show, New Girl. I can't even look at that show.
You're kidding.
No, I can't look at it. I don't want to see any stills from it. I don't want to look at it. It's just the most, it's horrible to look at myself in that show. And they were very nice people to work with, but I was over 300 pounds on that show. No way ain't gonna happen. So there you have it. We're gonna get into a discussion here of Duck Dynasty in a moment. It's a really, really interesting television show that Steve Bozell is gonna join us and talk about. Steve's on the line with us. Steve, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Phil. I'm actually outside right now and just cleaning up some mixers. We've got a lot of equipment here at my house right now. We had a pretty big job. And I'm talking too much. I apologize.
No, it's okay.
I just want to explain why you're hearing and explain its noises. You guys clean off the trowels and you can go ahead and go home now. Yeah, my daughter's inside. Jeremy, my daughter's inside. She's not going to look at you. Now, get it? I got a young guy who's on my finishing crew. He wants to meet my daughter. And I said, she's 14 years old. You got to clean your act up and clean it up good. Clean your act up, Jeremy, the way you clean that trowel off, and you'll be good to go. Yeah. So it's been a very busy day.
A very busy day?
Very busy day, yes, sir.
Steve, I wanted to talk to you about this Duck Dynasty.
Can I say one thing, Phil? When you talked about having a 52 waist and going in all, could I ask you one thing?
About the show?
When you were on a TV show and they do the clothes for you?
Yeah, the wardrobe. They always want to get your measurements.
And so they're asking you about your waist size and what else. Do you mind if I just ask you some questions about that? I just think it's very interesting.
Go ahead.
I mean, if you don't, you know, if they put you in a pair of 52-inch pants, there's no hiding, is there? There's no way you get away with it. You're just going to look fat, as fat can be.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's you're in a wardrobe. You're dressed in a suit. I think I was for that show. And oh yeah, fat as hell.
Yeah, and you look like a tub of guts.
I can tell you this. There's a picture of me on our homepage at philhendryshow.com. If you want to scroll back through, maybe I was put up last month sometime, I think. But it's right there on the homepage. If you scroll back through the different posts, going back in time to maybe November, I could find it. Actually, I think I have the still, and we'll try and find it. It's just bad, man. So when I started losing weight back in the spring of 2012 and really got on a roll.
Got on a roll. Woo-hoo.
Would you not do that, bud? That is irritating.
Don't do that, bud.
What?
Ooh. Okay?
Well, you said got on a roll.
So he said got on a roll. What does that mean?
I think about Bud saying if you're a fat man, it's natural to think of the guy rolling.
Well, that's a good point.
No, it's not a good point.
It's not a good point?
No, that's not a good point. No, it's not enough to interrupt the show.
Well,
No. Forget it.
Probably because the fat man he's talking about is you, but anyway, you were saying, Phil?
Yeah, so I lost the weight, and when I really realized that I could lose it, you know, when I started counting calories, that's how I did it. I was doing 2,000 calories a day, and I didn't know if it would work because I had tried everything. I had exercised like a son of a gun, but I wasn't losing any weight. I was out at least 30 minutes a day trying to do a little bit of running. Don't ever run when you're 300 pounds, not because you can't. You can run. I did. Here's the problem. That weight that you are pounding on your feet and on your shins and on your knees and on your back is brutal. And where I felt it more than anything else was in my feet and my ankles and my legs. So you're running, and you may only be just jogging a little bit, you know.
But the weight is, it's like dropping an anvil on your joints, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that bad.
Well, I mean, come on, Mr. Andrew, you open that door. I mean, we might as well just let the cattle run on through now, you know.
All right, so yes, it was. It was that bad and painful. So it wasn't that I wasn't able to run, and I did try to run. You can run. Sure, you get winded. But where the real problem is that it just pounds the hell out of your joints. And speaking of that, I know that, General, you want to talk about Nova Joint here in a few minutes, right?
No, I'll tell you, that Nova Joint worked. This is what I... Do you still get the joint pain?
Not anymore, but I can tell you I'll be hitting you up if I do. We're going to take a break, and then we'll get back here with Steve Bozell. We'll be talking about Duck Dynasty, one of the stars of the show. Now, this is a show of featuring a bunch of rednecks. One of these guys equated homosexuality with bestiality. Now, what that does is two things. Just if anybody's on Facebook, you know that when a guy says something like that and he's on a TV show, two things happen. A, he's going to get a whole lot of people defending him and backing him up. That's number one. And number two, you're going to have a whole bunch of people saying, what do you expect when you put a bunch of dumbass rednecks on TV? So the clash of cultures continues.
Yes, it does, and I am decidedly in the latter camp. General?
Well, I resent when you say that's what happens when you get a bunch of dumbasses on Facebook.
Tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll put it into a plainer English for all of you. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com and online at philhendryshow.com, of course, our online store. Be right back with more with Steve Bozell and Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty!
Merry Christmas. It's world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Steve Bozell with us from Corona, California, as we discuss Duck Dynasty. And there's a television show that has been very, very prominent and popular. It seems like the redneck shows, there's at least one a season. And, of course, we had, whatever happened to that honey, what the hell was the name of that show?
That's called Baby Boo Boo.
Don't yell it, bud.
God almighty, bud.
That's called Baby Boo Boo.
Yeah. Shut up, man.
Yeah, that was called Baby Boo Boo.
No, but it was Honey Boo Boo, right?
Right, yeah, Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah. What about it?
Well, you asked me what was that show, and...
Is that still on the air?
I have no idea. I wouldn't know. I stay as far away from it as I can because, understand, Mr. Henry, that I was, I brought my family, my wife and I and the kids moved out here from, and Steve Jr. and April Jr. were babies when April and I moved out here from Knoxville, Tennessee, and this was in 1996, and relocated out here to the Inland Empire, and I tried to leave that far behind, you know, I'm trying to leave it far behind, and I don't want to know of it, and I don't want to hear of it, to try to cleanse myself and keep it clean, you know, and...
All right, I get it. So you didn't want to watch Baby Boo Boo or whatever the hell, Honey Boo Boo?
No, I did not, because that family was like every other family on my street back there, and I see that Honey Boo Boo, and I want to get away from it, get way, way away, and it's very, very traumatic.
So tell me about Duck Dynasty. Phil Robertson is the guy?
Yes, sir. Phil Robertson, who's one of the... he's been suspended from the show. He made some comments in GQ magazine. He's a 67-year-old man. He's the darling of the political right. He equated same-sex relationships with bestiality. He says, it seems to me a vagina as a man would be more desirable than, and then he made some other comments. He says, I'm just thinking there's, you know, and then he went and made some very unfortunate comments.
Well, the man is a pig. I would attribute to this man, Mr. Robinson, the very things that Don Berman attributed to Roger Waters, a pig, the scum of the earth. Look at the man. These are people, they're throwback people. If you want to talk about the indigenous tribes...
Excuse me, ma'am, but I'm the one that's going to be... Mr. Henry said, assured me that I'd be the one to be, that he'd be interviewed, you know?
That I'm interviewing, yes, Margaret, if you don't mind. You know, I do want to hear your opinion.
Well, I wish you'd spit it out, then. What do you think of this man?
What do I think of what, man?
What do you think of this guy, Duck Dynasty guy, and the things he said?
Well, I mean, you have to understand, my daughter goes to C.K. Corona Middle School, so I've got a lot of people who are on the left, and I live in California, so if you think you're going to hear me say that, you know, Mr. Duck Robertson, or Phil Robertson is a guy that I admire, no way. I disagree with what he's got to say, but I have to disagree with it because I want to keep my daughter in a really good school.
Well, that's just it. Now, what do you really think?
Well, I'm not going to say because I want my daughter to...
Well, don't you think the school's listening to you right now and getting the general idea?
No, I'm just trying to tell you that I'm trying to stay above the fray here, and I'm trying to make sure that I'm not going to be in any kind of a problem with the...
Let's just pretend for about 5 seconds here that your daughter doesn't go to a liberal middle school and that the school isn't going to call you in on the carpet. And this guy, I can't believe this school. You get chewed out by like 11-year-olds. That's fantastic. Let's pretend like that's not going to happen. What do you think?
Well, I, in a lot of ways, any man that can use a bow and arrow and a squirrel gun and all that and you got to admire a guy like that. Where I come from, it's an admirable thing. But I, you know, you have to understand. I've got relatives, and brother, if they hear that I am not lockstep in line with the Duck Dynasty, they look at me like I'm as queer as a $3 bill.
See, right there, I knew that was it. So this is the kind of macho, really ignoramus machismo that still exists in that part of the world. What is wrong with that part of the world? That's what I want to know.
There's nothing wrong with that part of the world.
I just want to say, there's rednecks everywhere, okay?
Well, what do you mean?
What do I mean? There's rednecks everywhere. There's hill people everywhere. There's mountain trash everywhere, man, whether it's California... I'm telling you, you know, if there's one thing that we know, if you know anything about America, you got the rural folk, and you've got some people that are really rural, and you've got the city folk. It doesn't make any difference where. The South, the East, the West, the North. The South probably gets it more in terms of the stereotype than any other part of the world, or any other part of the country, I should say, because it was a very, very poor part of the country for a long time. And that had to do with a lot of factors. And so a poor person from the southeastern part of the United States sort of personified a certain thing for people. But there's people all over this country. Now, according to this article, he's been suspended from the show following these remarks. And I'm not going to quote the remarks, but they are pretty, they're pretty stupid. That's all you can say. There's probably a lot of people that think this guy is just all that and a bag of pork rinds, but this cat sounds like he looks just like a dumbass. Now, according to the network, he's been suspended. Here's a statement for... Let me just read you a little bit of what Mr. Robertson said. He explained when asked by GQ's Drew McGarry what exactly he considered sinful. He said, start with homosexual behavior and just morph out from there. Bestiality, sleeping around with this woman and that woman and that woman and those men... A&E Network suspended Robertson from Duck Dynasty after the interview was released. We're extremely disappointed to have read Phil Robertson's comments in GQ, which are based on his own personal beliefs and are not reflected in the series Duck Dynasty. A&E Network said in a statement, his personal views in no way reflect those of A&E Networks, who have always been strong supporters and champions of LGBT community.
Let me let me just say something, Mr. Henry. I think A&E, they got to be dumber than they got to be dumber than a squirrel without a helmet. Because if you look at who these guys are, you just got done saying it. You take a look at these guys. These guys are from the hills. They're mountain trash. Don't you think that these guys are going to say stuff like that? So I think it's unfair because you know when you look at a group of hill people like this. These people come right out of the wild. They're coming out of the holler. They've been back down in the holler and in the wild for several hundred, you know, many, many decades. God knows, perhaps over 100 years. They've been cut off from anything that you or I would know is normal. I don't know what kind of family relationships they form. They're tribal. They're all messed up. And now they come out into the free, clean air of the urban landscape. They're hired by a TV network. All they got are a whole bunch of people walking around and look like, you know, I can only imagine what they think. And,
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point.
What's a good point?
It's a good point to say if you're going to hire guys like this to do a TV show, what do you think they're going to talk about?
Well, they could keep their own count. You know something, Phil? If you know that I happen to know that these networks don't let these stars open their big bazoos without a representative from the network sitting there. In other words, they have some PR person from the network fielding the questions, but they let this man sit in there. Well...
Yeah, see, that's my point. You know, if A&E didn't want this guy to talk all kinds of trash,
hold on, I gotta take a break here. We're right with we'll conclude here with our good friend Steve Bozell coming up next hour. And in speaking of hill people, here's a song called Canadian Sunset. I don't know.
Well, this is about mountain trash, isn't it?
Not really, no.
I was alone.
Yes, it is. He meets some mountain trash girl while he's skiing, and she's coming out of the holler, and I don't know.
Whatever.